everyone. I'm Haley Allam, and this is Mom Life in Luxembourg. If you're a parent new to Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. Moin, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, I'm joined by Lynn Frank, who is a coaching psychologist, the founder of Passages.lu, which is a support group for parents here in Luxembourg, as well as the owner of Growth Stages, which offers personal and professional coaching, specializing in neurodiversity training and coaching. I wanted to do this episode because if you are starting out on this journey, it's a long one. You might be feeling isolated. You might be feeling blindsided. You might be feeling sorry for yourself. You might be feeling frustrated. And all those things are really overwhelming. Lynn is a great example of someone who had a son who was neurodivergent. I think he was diagnosed about 8 and has really used it to her advantage. And now she is able to help others along this journey. So give it a listen and let me know what you think. And as always, I'd love to hear from you. If you want, you can share it with your mom friends and you can find me on social media at Mom Life in Luxembourg. Merci Filmus and enjoy the show. Hi Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hi, Haley. Thanks for inviting me and thanks for providing such a great resource for parents.
Thank you so much for saying that. That is actually the goal of the show, to be a resource for the English-speaking parent community here in Luxembourg. As it's April and we are going to be talking about neurodivergent awareness as part of my mission to foster awareness and acceptance in Luxembourg for this community. And it's something I'm super passionate about. And I know that you are passionate about it too. You are a coaching psychologist and you have lots of experience on well-being and advocacy, both well-being for the parents and the children, as well as tips on how to advocate for your child if they are neurodivergent living in Luxembourg. So I want to hear all about that. But before we do, in as much detail as you feel comfortable, tell me a little bit about you and your Luxembourg story.
Okay. My Luxembourg story started about 18 years ago. I have 2 kids, one who was born here and one who was born in the UK. And we were already expats in France before we came here. I was really lucky on arriving because I was already volunteering in France on a new parent helpline. And my son was 5, my husband was traveling a lot, and I had this background but didn't know how I was going to use it here in the workplace. I decided to create my own community. And so I volunteered in the Well Baby Clinic, the American Women's Club, the British Ladies Club, and then I became an adult scout leader.
Wow.
I was really lucky. It was a great way to form community and make friends and learn the languages and keep the skills and get the brain
moving,
keep ticking over. So I guess that I mentioned that because I know that you're a show for new parents, and I think volunteering is a great way to find other people in Luxembourg. And what's really important to our journey today possibly is the what happened then. When my son was around 8, he was diagnosed with Asperger's, which would be called autistic spectrum disorder now, and ADHD and dyspraxia.
I feel like everybody pretty much knows what autism is, pretty much knows what ADHD is. If you don't, it's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And dyspraxia, talk to me about that real quick in case people don't know.
Dyspraxia is a little bit, it's about body. There's an issue between the brain and body movement. So often kids have difficulty with small motor skills and writing and struggling like that. And so it's a little bit like the dyslexia of the body sort of thing.
Okay, so like your body, like you want your hand to write an S curve, but it ends up coming out a square or something?
Yeah, something like that. We don't realize how much we use our bodies when we're writing. And in fact, one of the things that he needed to do was go to see an occupational therapist and actually jump up and down on a trampoline to really
build up
those skills. Yes.
Yeah, incredible.
It was a very interesting journey.
And that is why I'm so glad that you're here. We're still talking about you, but now I got to pivot to your son. He was 8 when he was diagnosed, and he was here in Luxembourg?
Yes.
So you got all the diagnoses here in Luxembourg? Did you go abroad? Tell me a little bit about that.
And that was the real big part of our journey. We did struggle to get support here, to get a diagnosis, because we didn't know what the issue was. And so we needed something in English.
Was he in local school?
No, he was in the French school system, because we'd moved from and then we transferred him into St. George's, the English school system. There were very few options for English schools at that time.
How many years ago was this?
This was, oh my gosh, 17 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so 17 years ago, yeah.
I hope this story turns around, that there's much more resources now in Luxembourg.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah. It's still a little bit of a treasure map, I say. You do have to still look for things, which is why we create these opportunities of people coming together, so that we can make sure that we can signpost people to resources and support each other and make sure that they know who's out there.
Yeah.
Because that was the big struggle for us. And what we found was we met in this whole process, because we ended up going to Belgium, to Brussels, to get a diagnosis, and we ended up going to Leuven, just outside Brussels, for another 4 years.
What's Leuven?
Leuven is just outside Brussels.
Oh, it's a town.
It's a town just outside Brussels, and they had a specialist unit there. And basically, it was the first people we spoke to who seemed to actually know or really understand or recognize what was going on for my son.
Is this happening in French or English?
It was in English.
Oh, great.
It was in English. They were Dutch, but they spoke English. Dutch speaking, because it was Flemish. It was that part of Belgium.
Do you remember the name of the center?
No, I don't, but I can certainly find it to put in the resources at the end.
Great, yes, we'll put it in the show notes.
But hopefully people wouldn't need to do that now.
Okay.
Because I would not recommend having to go up and down to Leuven. We used to go, which is about 2.5 hours. We used to go there. We went there with my son at first for a while, and then we went there as parents to get support for another, as I say, 4 years. So we'd go every 6 months.
I have a friend who's going to The Hague this weekend to pursue a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So the outsourcing out of Luxembourg for a diagnosis is still definitely happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we still, it depends. It all depends. But we still suggest people look at the place in Brussels. The Brussels help desk is still there. That's the first place that we went to. And some people go back to the UK if they come from the UK, or they may come back, go to their home country. When you have a diagnosis outside the country, obviously, if you're looking to need medication or whatever, you have to get it translated and it has to be accepted by a psychiatrist here. But if you need the diagnosis to move forward, then actually sometimes it is better to get it in a place where you feel comfortable and then maybe get it translated. Except, of course, it's expensive. And I'm not advocating people go outside the country, because there are possibilities here. It's just making sure that you connect to people here who can actually help you with that, which is where we come to in the story. Because in this quite difficult time for us, we met with other families, and they didn't necessarily have neurodivergent children. There were lots of other reasons why families needed support in Luxembourg, and they were struggling to either get information in English or actually join the dots, because that was the big thing, is actually finding professionals, because they were in quite a lot of isolation and knowing what to do next, etc. So that's why we created Passage in 2013. Passage is actually from PSG, Parent Support Group.
Oh, cute.
It was really about having a journey together and having other people in that journey to support you. The vision was to have a community where we could support parents as in peer support and also professional support. And we ran monthly support groups for parents, which we still do. And over the years, we've run information evenings, a professional network for professionals who work in English in the community so that they can come together. And we also provide a website.
Amazing. So Passages is really a support network for all kinds of parents. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a neurodivergent child, give me an example of some reasons why they might use Passages.
They might have it just because there are problems in the home, or they're struggling with what educational system will work for their child, or there's been a death or some kind of disruption in the home, or just even they've arrived in Luxembourg and they just want to meet other parents and come together. And we are completely run by volunteers. So it's a great way for new parents who maybe, like me, were looking to keep their skills up and connect and stuff like that. They can come and do stuff with Passage. And that's what a lot of people have done over the years, is that they've actually decided that they wanted to do something around social media or whatever, and they would do that for Passage, or they would use their skills in running the professionals network and connecting professionals, or they would run their skills in running events or whatever. So we're always looking for volunteers, and it's a great opportunity to get involved.
Okay. So if anyone's listening and you have some hours that you want to dedicate to volunteerism, call Passages. We'll put all their details in the show notes.
Yeah.
So let's go back to your son. You tell me, what's next in the journey?
We then had to join the dots in Luxembourg and find the support that we needed in Luxembourg. So over the years, we've had occupational therapy, a psychometrician.
What's that?
Which is the sort of occupational side, the therapy and the working with handwriting, psychomotor support, yes. We got counselling support for him and coaching support for him. And yeah, I think that's probably, I know, it just lots of sort of a different people for different points in his life that he needed that extra support.
And you were able to find that all here in Luxembourg in English?
Yes.
And so if someone is needing some support for psychomotor or occupational therapy or whatever in English, mm-hmm. Passages would be a great place to go and find those vendors, for lack of a better word, yeah. Providers.
Yeah, because actually they're changing all the time. So I can tell you that all those professionals that we worked with, I believe, aren't working in Luxembourg anymore because we have this turnover. However, because we have this network, what we try and do is become as current as we possibly can with who is out there and what they're doing. One of the most important things that we do as far as working with parents in Passage is we focus on supporting them around their advocacy skills. And that's really about preparing to go into meetings that they might be having with schools or with other practitioners. It's about making sure that they're informed of how it works here, because it does depend on what school system you're in. It can be different.
I want to ask you about advocacy and well-being, because I've interviewed a few parents so far for Neurodivergent Awareness Month. And one thing we all have in common is that when you have a diagnosis, a new diagnosis, it's like you need to be fluent in a foreign language yesterday, because you really don't know. And also you feel very isolated, like you're the only person that kind of is going through this, which is obviously statistically totally false, because it's 1 in 5, right? Mm-hmm. Some sort of neurodivergence. I think you started with advocacy, so let's start there. What are the best ways to go about it? And you said, depending on, should we start with local school and then move into the English private schools or English speaking schools?
I think it's tricky to differentiate between the two, because it's not quite as simple as that, because it depends on your child, it depends on your family circumstances, it depends on, yes, maybe what they have in the schools, but obviously there are different, every child is different. So I think a really good starting point is really to start. Passage is a great way to start, because you can come along to one of our monthly meetings and meet with other people and actually start the process of getting more informed. Because amongst our parents, there are people who've not only got experience, but they've also got professional experience too. So that's a good start. There's also a parent helpline in English here that is run by the Kanderjugend Telefon. And again, I will put that resource in your sheet at the end. And they can provide, again, an overview of different resources, support in here in Luxembourg, depending on the circumstances of the family and what they want. If someone came to us and they were actually just at the beginning of this journey, first and foremost, they just need to have a space. It's a lot to take in. This is going to take time, and it's really important to feel that you're in a safe space where you can just sit with it and talk about it. And people have all sorts of different emotions around this. There can be emotions around frustration or guilt, or some people feel that they're to blame. They get messages from family or messages from educational places. So there's a lot to process. Just having that space to actually be able to express that. And then on top of that, then we can actually start helping them to prepare to have the language, to understand the cultural differences, to maybe think about where their expectations are, depending on what educational system they came from and what their expectations are of the educational systems here.
I just keep thinking of the statistic. It's like a proven thing that the stress that a parent of someone who is raising someone with autism is proven to be the same level as the stress of a combat soldier, which is crazy. I recently interviewed Debbie Reber. She has a podcast actually called Tilt Parenting that's amazing. And she wrote the book called Differently Wired. And it's about neurodivergent kids. And really, she considers it a global social movement to spread the word that there's actually nothing wrong with these kids. They are brilliant in their own ways. They just need different accommodations. And for me personally, what you said really resonates with me, because I did not have a good reaction when my son was two and a half and things were happening. And I was like, it was just extremely overwhelming, something I had never considered. I felt extremely blindsided and not prepared. And I don't want this. Mm-hmm. This is not what I want for my parenting journey. 7+ years later, I feel pretty great about it. I don't think I got the short end of the stick at all. I think in a lot of ways, I think my neurodivergent son is like the coolest kid that ever lived. So I think you're right. Having a place, a support to hold that space is so important. But you are a positive psychological coach. I'm sorry, I just can't say that.
I know.
Just tell me.
Positive psychological coach. So everything that you say totally resonates with my journey and my experience of working with parents. I provide programs specifically for adults with ADHD, which interestingly enough, a lot of parents who find out that they have a neurodivergent child actually then find out that there's someone in the family who is also neurodivergent too. So what I provide is this specialist program for adults with ADHD, but also there's a program for parents of neurodivergent children.
The program for the adults ADHD, what's in that?
What's in that is that it's a hybrid sort of coaching program. So it's a psychoeducational program. So what we do is we start at the beginning of our journey together, exploring certain psychological models that actually may help people to get a foundation on their understanding of their neurodivergent brain. Right at the beginning, we look at executive functioning. We look at all the challenges that they may have had with executive functioning. So that's around activation. That's actually prioritizing, organizing, focus, effort, emotion, memory, and actioning. So we look at all those things. And then we really focus on the great ways that they have been working. Because there's huge amounts of strengths in being neurodivergent. We look at how they can actually really get to understand their neurodivergent brain and how they can use that in different situations. And eventually what we're looking for is a sense of self-acceptance and a sense of self-validation. Really, it's the me on purpose thing at the end, is that actually knowing and understanding myself and being able to be very clear about what my needs are and being able to work with those and be able to express those in everyday life. Part of that journey, which is interesting with the parenting part, is there's this sort of reauthoring of the story. So there's a my life before a diagnosis or before I even suspected I might have ADHD or I'm neurodivergent, and my life after. So it's if I'd only known. And there's actually quite often a grieving process that people need to go through.
Because they wish they would have been diagnosed sooner?
Yes, definitely. And with the parenting thing, there can be this journey of, oh my God, the catastrophic looking ahead to how my child is never going to be able to make it in this world, and they're going to be homeless, and they're going to be on the streets, and they're going to be taking drugs, and blah, 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 blah. It's really scary. And what we do is we bring it down and actually say, this is not, it doesn't work that way. And when we're working with people who have executive functioning issue
deficits,
I like to see challenges.
Okay.
Because I think that they are challenges, and I think there are challenges just because we're trying to fit in a box. And if we're outside the box, we just need to recognize that how we're trying to fit in the box. So for instance, when I work with people with ADHD, we start with this concept of the fact that their brain is wired for interest. So if your brain is wired for interest, then it's not wired for importance necessarily. So we have to work out what it is that they want in life, what it is that they value, what has meaning for them. So we've got a long-term goal, and then incrementally we have to break it down into something that's interesting, that's going to keep them focused and activated, when in fact something's over here, something's over there.
God, that's so interesting.
Yeah, and I love it. When I experience this with adults, and when I experience it with parents actually recognizing these things in their children, it's like a light goes on.
My light's on. Can I tell you a funny story? My son is gifted, extremely smart, above grade level. When he was younger, he was getting pretty bad grades at school, which is very common with gifted kids. And I said, you should be the valedictorian, buddy. And he's, what's that? And I'm like, it's the kid with the best grades. He's, I'm not interested in that. I was like, oh,
there you go.
Can we bribe you?
And that's in fact actually how you work with kids. You work with kids to, when they say to you, I don't understand why I have to do maths. Why? What's the point of this? And you actually have to then start looking at what is it that they value? What do they want in the long term? And how are they going to understand that learning about problem solving is something that's really going to help them when they're a YouTuber?
Okay.
Because they're going to still need to do that sort of, how do you take this and make it interesting so that actually they understand that these things have consequence, that have meaning in their life in the future.
Let's just say you're a parent, you're staring down the barrel of a diagnosis, you're at the start of this journey, you're feeling mm-hmm. blindsided, isolated, freaked out, throwing out all the plastic in your house just in case, and you just want a bespoke program and support. They could just call you. What age children, if I wanted to sign up for the parent program, mm-hmm. but my kid is 6 or 7, is that too young?
No, absolutely not. In fact, it's great age.
Really?
Great age. Any parent at any time, because if you're already concerned, it's already something that there is anxiety around. And so therefore, even just having a place to talk through that anxiety. And I talk to people who are being sent to us or psychomotor skills when they're 3.5. And often that's just about reassurance and an understanding about child development and an understanding that we look to, especially in communities where we don't necessarily, we're away from family and so on, there's a lot of comparison that's going on. We've got a little girl who's running around and is excited and wants to move all the time. And then you look and the corner, you've got all those little girls and they're doing their colouring. Mm-hmm. It's all very, and you're like,
substitute boy for girl. And that's when my son was little, I was like, why are there 15 kids doing mm-hmm. what they're supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. Mine is like over mm-hmm. there mm-hmm. on another atmosphere.
Because he was doing what he was supposed to be doing in that moment. It's just how we...
But it's hard not to compare.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And in some ways, it's how we live. It's how we grow. It's how we understand. It's how we learn. We learn by mimicking. We learn by looking around us. But we also need to understand that we, to really we need to connect with our kids wherever they are. Okay. And that's a whole another podcast series, basically. But we need to connect with them where they are. And what's really solidly important about this whole advocacy thing is that I always see advocacy in a sense of I'm holding up my fingers in a triangle. The child is in the middle of the triangle. The parent is parents, the family's on the top. The side is the sort of educational, the institution, the school or whatever. And here is the sort of community part. And the child is centre in this. And we have to work together. We need to find a way to support children in our community. And we have to work with schools. We have to work with teachers. We have to work with, and we have to work with all the practitioners that we're working with and keep all that together. And in fact, actually, one of the things that we're doing with Passage at the moment is we are connecting to a platform called Delza. I don't know whether you've heard about Delza.
I just heard about it, and I'm going to ask Mr. Delza if he wants to be on the show.
Great, absolutely, which is one of the things I was going to ask you. So we've connected with them, and the idea is to provide this platform where teachers, parents, practitioners, everyone has access to the same platform. The parents have total control over who can see what, but it's a way of keeping all that information together. It's a way of, if you've got a really streamlined system, when my son had gone to school and he hadn't taken his Ritalin that morning, I would be able to pop that in there. And then if we would have that communication, normally that would happen by phone, but ultimately it's a way of keeping all that information together, because it doesn't matter. There are some schools that may be able to provide everything in-house, but there are very few chances and very few places that can happen. And so it's really good when you can keep it all together, because I ended up with a file.
Yeah, this binder
full of like stuff for years and years. And I had to do a lot of, I'd go to meetings and I would talk to the school and I'd have conversations with the special educational support, and then I'd have conversations with the teachers and I'd have conversations with the practitioners and lots of communication. And I had to keep that all together. Me and my husband, we had to keep all that together to make sure that everyone was understanding what was going on in any moment. With a platform like this, it would be great. We can share that information.
Okay, we'll put that in the show notes. What else would you like to share with this audience?
So I'm looking at my notes here. I think what's really important is that every family's different, every child's different. The journey is different, but you can have friendship and you can have support, and there are people out there. There's an amazing resources in Luxembourg. You just need to know where to find them, and there's great support like this. I think what I would like to finish on is that I have a really happy ending for my story. My son, even though the journey was difficult at times, he got great support. We had some fantastic professionals who went above and beyond to support us in collaboration, in partnership. And he is now 22. This is the child that they were saying it was all about survival. Basically, he'll be lucky if he survives the education system. He won't be able to do GCSEs, A-levels, whatever. And he finished his degree. He got a 2-1, which is a higher degree. Last year he did GCSEs, he did A-levels, and he wants to be a teacher.
Amazing. Congratulations to you, Mama. And
it's,
and him.
It's a team.
Yeah, but team. If you weren't running Point, the mm-hmm. outcome could have been drastically different.
Yeah.
I go to neurodiverse parent meetings, and almost every time there's some mom in tears thinking, I've missed the boat, I've let years go by.
Never.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. And you know what? you need to look after yourself, because as I keep saying, this is a long journey. It takes, as parenting is, it takes time and support, and you must look after yourself. Really important.
All right, Lynn, thank you so much. I feel like you are in one of those, you think your child is going to change the world, but turns out you have to change the world for your child. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I see your company is called Growth Stages, Pathways to Growth, Positive Psychological Coaching, specializing in neurodiversity training and coaching. If someone wants to get a hold of you, obviously check out my show notes, but do you have a website? Where do you want to direct people?
Yeah, there's growthstages.com, which is the website. I'm on LinkedIn, and yeah, and then you can find me through Passage too. And Passage is parents.passage@gmail.com. And we, and our website is www.passage.lu.
L-U, great.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much, Lynn.
All right. Thanks.